We're coming from the lesson, amen, coming from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 10, amen. And it's the topic is on the righteous branch, the righteous branch. Coming from verses 1 to 10, and coming from verse number 1, it said, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." And we know that it's all evidently talking about the root of Jesse leading all the way up to the birth of Jesus Christ. And there's a lineage, amen, that Jesus is going to fulfill in the coming days to pass when he makes his second coming. Now, just reading on this, it kind of gives us an enlightenment unto this season. We know that right now everything is all, you know, festive and want to celebrate Christmas, but not really the Christ of Christmas. They're really celebrating the dollar that they can make in the Christmas season. And when I looked at that, and God says that even though Jesus may be fading out during this season, he says things may look like it's cut off. But he says, but I got a root that's so deeply planted that it's still got time to germinate and flourish during this season. Because you can cut off the top part, but as long as there's roots there, that means that the plant is not dead, it's just kind of dormant. And he says, during this season, amen, even though things may look like Jesus is not in the scene, we are Jesus' representatives to make forth that we celebrate Jesus our Christ during the Christmas season. Just recently, I had the experience of, I think it was probably Wednesday morning, this one gentleman was walking to work, and it was truly cold that morning. And sure enough, as I picked him up and, you know, introduced myself, and his name was Jesse, and I introduced myself and dropped him off to work. And at the end, I said, "Thank you very much for letting me help you get to work." And he says, "Well, I thank you very much." And he said, "Happy holidays." And I said, "Merry Christmas to you, too." And so just in that, he was wishing me something very good. But when he said holidays, I said, "Well, what are the holidays about?" Christmas. So let me put Christ back into the holiday season. And then it says in verse number 2, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." Now these are talking about, of course, the qualities of the individuals, the characteristics of God in which he puts on the Lord Jesus Christ. And all that he puts on him, it is evident in our lives today. The moment we said yes to Jesus, amen, everything that is due unto us, we had access to. And you can only do that on behalf when you say yes to Jesus. He says, "The heavens shall open unto you." Not only am I going to save you and make you one of my own, but I want you to be a representative in whom you believe on. Now, during this season, it really tests our faith, because really people only look at Jesus maybe only two times out of the year. That's during Easter and Christmas, right? And when you look at those two seasons, Jesus got to fight through, you know, the Easter egg. He got to fight through the bunny. And then during Christmas, he got to fight through Santa Claus. He got to get through all of that just to bring forth Jesus our Christ. And we are his representatives, knowing that is going to happen during those seasons, because that's when the church really gets full. I mean, people come, and they only come during those times of the year. And those are moments where we can take advantage of those moments and introduce them to Christ by letting our light so shine before men that they will see God's good work in us and glorify our Father which art in heaven. So when he says here, "The Lord shall rest upon him the spirit of wisdom," and then he says, "of understanding." I'm giving you some information about God in which I understand. Now, the wisdom is that we incorporate it properly. Don't abuse it. Don't misuse it. When we say that we are followers of Christ, get ready, because not everyone's going to agree with the things of Christ. And, you know, this kind of brings up another topic. You know, at work, I work with an individual, and he's like the deputy and the commander. He says, "Well, Mike, you know, he's one of those LDSs." And I said, "LDS?" I said, "Oh, the Latter-day Saints." And he said, "Yes." Now, certain things that we may joke about, he may have, has, you know, as an offense. And I said, wow. I said, that's great, sir. And he said, he's looking at me, how is that great? I said, even though he has a different religion to talk about, we can at least agree on the goodness of Jesus. I don't have to talk about your religion. You ain't going to talk about mine. You ain't going to talk about my pastor or my church. I don't talk about your pastor or your church. Let's just keep it even and talk about the goodness of Jesus Christ. When you talk about the goodness of Jesus Christ, it keeps the door open for more fellowship. But the moment you bring up, I go to this church, automatically every church has got a label on it. And they say, you go with that church because I'm fooling with those people at that church, you know. And then now your name going to take some blows because now you're affiliated with that church. But when you can talk about Jesus the Christ, keep him the center and the foremost of our, of your conversation. So one day, who's that one author? I forgot the author now. He's here in San Antonio. He writes many books. Max Lucado. And Max Lucado, he had a function at his church, and he's talking about the battle of the minds. And it was a men's conference he had a few years back, and all of us went into the huge auditorium, into the sanctuary. And he tested us, and he says, I want you to yell out what church you're from with the loudest voice that you can give. One, two, three, and all of us named our churches, right? And he says, is that the best you can do? I want you to really belt out what church do you come from. Ready? One, two, three. And we yelled it out, right? And he says, to put everybody on the even keel, just tell me, who do you believe on? Jesus. And it was a loud echo of harmony in that auditorium. When he says, when you keep Jesus first and keep him there and everything else is secondary. So he says, when you seek him, you're seeking the kingdom of God and his what? Hallelujah. Then it says here, as we go on, the spirit of wisdom and understanding and the spirit of counsel and might. That means that when you say yes to Jesus, Jesus says, I'm going to counsel you on some certain things. And so even the pastor, Pastor Brown, his series is on All I Want for Christmas. And it's coming from Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, you know, for unto us, you know, a son is born unto us, you know, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Now, counselor, amen, is when the Holy Spirit is going to put his finger on certain things concerning my Christian development. Things won't happen overnight. He says, in time, you will get the understanding as to why God is doing this unto us. So God says, let me counsel you on certain things. Whenever there's an opportunity to witness, talk about me. Don't talk about what my church does or this is what our church did last week or anything else. Talk about me. When you keep the doors open, now you can talk about what your church is doing on behalf of me. But whenever you put church before me, you're going to lose the conversation automatically. You lose them automatically. When you talk about what religion I believe on, you're going to lose them automatically. But when you put me first, I will make sure everything will go well. So Lord, counsel me on the words that I would say and might. God will give you godly confidence and boldness to be a witness. A boldness of even keeping quiet. Certain things that people will say in the office, and it's funny to everybody else, and you wonder how come you are so quiet. And God said, I'm giving you a boldness, not just to say no, but don't laugh and be in agreement with everybody else. Let them see a distinction just on being quiet. And he says, that would speak louder than your testimony, is when you just be silent before me. And they're going to notice, well, I wonder how come, you know, Sister So-and-so, that lady, how come they didn't laugh at the joke? I thought it was funny, you know. So what it does, it brings curiosity. And they may, you know, off the cuff come to you and say, man, I noticed you didn't laugh. Why is it that you didn't laugh? And you can say, man, I'm glad that you asked. Now you have the wonderful opportunity of introducing them to Jesus Christ. That's why I did not laugh. You see? So there are certain doors open. God can give you boldness on just being quiet. Then it says here, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. When you come into reverence with God, I mean, that's not a fear to, you know, to shake and be cringed in. That's a fear of reverence, of worship to Almighty God. And when you keep that on your mind, you know what? Things that used to bother you, you won't bother you as much. Because, Lord, I fear and reverence you. Everything else is going to come about in life. You're going to have your valley experience. You're going to have your wilderness experience. But guess what? Lord, I am in your hands. And you, oh God, know what it is I'm up against before I come against it. So let me keep my mind on focus on God so you can prepare me. In other words, he's going to counsel me, give me confidence and boldness, amen, to be a witness for him. Now, when I speak more about God and less on my problems, I make God bigger than my issue. And when I do that, God can say that, well, I can see that you are not moved by your situation, that, Lord, if anything, it would draw me that much closer to you. When people, amen, experience certain trials and everything else, they like to stay away from the church, and they think they can handle it, and then they can't handle it because you're doing it by yourself. When we are in the family of God, we got our brothers and sisters in Christ to help one another and encourage one another, right? So that means that if I come to you and I say, well, I have this issue and I would like for you to pray for me, right? That means that I'm telling you in confidence that it's between me, you, and God. And that's as far as it should go. Now, if you need assistance, then you would let me know, Minister Nedrick, I think this may be a little bit beyond me, but I tell you what, I'm going to point you to an individual who I trust who can help out in this issue. So now, amen, you're introducing me to someone that I can trust too, and also I know that no gossip will go out. My business won't be out in the streets before I even can get help. There's already gossip already out there in the world. And so then when I hear about it, I'm going to say, man, I trusted that person. I told them in confidence what's happening. Now the business is already out there, you see. Now that's what makes certain church folk not trust people. But when they can come to you, listen, that's God letting your light shine in you. They are drawn to you. And God says, I'm bringing them to you because I know you are only going to give them me. You're not going to give them any theory. You're not going to give them, you know, gossip of anybody else. You're going to give me strictly Jesus. So I said, Lord, why do you keep sending these two people in white shirts and black ties to my address? And God is saying, because I trust you that you're going to give them me. And I said, okay, Lord. So when they come to the door, of course, I open the door, and then we have our conversation. And I know the two people, Elderly Green and Elderly Alexander. These guys, I love coming over. As you know, they say, Mike, I come to your neighborhood. Nobody else opens the door but you. And I tell them, and I said, brothers, get in here right now. So we get into the door, we get into the dining room table, right? And it's mandatory for them. They got to go through their 7-point slide presentation. And after they're finished with that, we fellowship and talk about the goodness of Jesus. I don't talk about their religion. They make a promise to don't talk about my religion. We just talk about Jesus the Christ. And then I say, well, guys, the bottom line as to why you're here is to make sure I make it into heaven, right? That's really the bottom line of why you're here. Well, Mike, you know, that really is. And I said, well, let's talk about the goodness and the salvation of Jesus Christ. So that eliminates anything else. Now, the moment I get off of Christ, that's when they got me. Because that's when they'll bring up their Bible. That's when they bring up their belief and everything else. But when I stay on Christ, man, I got them. And God says, and the reason why I send them to your house is because God knows that I got home court advantage. See, so God says, when I send them to your house and God is in your house, God says, I got home court advantage. So invite them in and let's play the game. And you just talk about me only, and then when it's all over, there's no animosity, There's no argument. There's only love and peace when he leaves that house. So God said, I'm going to do all of this in the fear of the Lord. In verse number 3, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Now, one thing I want to talk about in that topic is judgment. Just because people believe differently that we believe, God says, don't judge them and put them in hell already. Right. God says, that's not your place. You're only there to be a witness unto me. That's why I've given you power and authority to be a witness unto me. Once you bring them me, then let me handle everything else. And then what God is saying, you plant the seed without judgment. And God said, when you plant the seed, he says, guess what? I'll send somebody else to water what you planted. And guess what? At the end, God's going to get the increase. So that means I'm not getting the glory for it. The person who waters is not getting the glory for it. Only God himself is getting the glory. So the more we magnify God and keep ourselves out of it, God says that, man, you are letting everybody know that you are not ashamed of me. So when I send them to your address, we got home court advantage. All right. So don't judge, amen. Then in verse number 4, but with what? Righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity, meaning fairness, for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Now, righteousness is God's character in us. That even when I didn't laugh at the joke, they got a glimpse of God's righteousness. And when they got a glimpse of that, it kind of sparked their curiosity. What is so peculiar about Mike? Man, he's usually a nice guy. He's easy to get along with, but he didn't laugh at my joke. And God says, man, you got a glimpse of God's righteousness. That means that I don't laugh at everything just because it's funny. The Holy Spirit will let you know, I'm not laughing about that. And Holy Spirit says, if I'm not laughing, guess what? Don't be laughing either. And then and when you do that, amen, you are displaying a righteousness that they see a certain character about you. And that sparks some interest. And God says, that, but with righteousness, he says, I'm going to judge the poor. Now, even Jesus says, the poor you will have with you always, right? There's some poor folks that you can let them know on how to get out of debt. And guess what? They'll still be in that debt mindset. It's because they're so drained in it, they think that's the way they're supposed to live. But when they look at your life and see that, man, even though I have debt, debt does not have me. I got to let you know right now. Yes, I do have a mortgage that I have to pay every month. And thank God I'm coming up to certain amounts of months left. I'm going to pay that off. Thank you, Jesus. And so what that does is, man, I'm showing a sign of godly discipline in righteousness. And I'm going to introduce that into anybody, amen, who wants the same Jesus that I have. So when he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Man, I'm giving you an avenue to get kingdom exposure, to get out of debt by following godly principles. So listen, if you want what I want, there is a process to get there. It's funny how people want what you want, but they don't want to go through the process.
Right.
They want it right then and there. Right. And that's just what, you know, certain poor people do. They always got their hand out. Right. So one time coming off of work, I'm coming up to a stoplight. And of course, I see a gentleman over here over to my left. And he's got this sign, you know, feed the poor. And I am a veteran. So yeah, I'm at the light. So I kind of challenged the individual and I said, sir, please come here, right? And he's coming, and he's kind of rushing, you know, to get there, right? So when he gets there, and I says, your sign says that you're a veteran. And yeah, you know, he's telling me, you know, all his story, but he's telling me in a very quick pace because the light is only about, what, a minute and a half to 2 minutes at the most? So I said, wow. So I said, do you have your DD Form 214? And he says, what's the DD Form 2? I said, okay, all right. Okay, the sign says you are a veteran. And out of every document on the planet concerning the military, you must have your DD form 214. Okay. So he says he didn't know what that was. I says, okay, did you get a discharge document? So, you know, you got to make it plain to certain folks, right? And he says, well, no, I really just got out. And I said, what branch did you serve? And he says, the Army. And I said, you know what? If you keep going down the street, you know, they have a place there for certain veterans that they can find your DD Form 214 and all the documents you would need so you won't be out here on the streets every day, right? So I gave him the information, right? And then I also gave him a bottle of water and some of the saltine crackers with the cream cheese in it. So here you go, right? So then, guess what? 2 days later, I come to the same stop. And he's right there, right? And I said, sir, right over here. I sure did. And so I said, sir, did you take advantage of the information I gave you? Now, that lets him know if you said yes, you would not be here. But since you didn't, I want you to answer that question for me. Did you take the advantage of the information? He says, well, I meant to, but I was unable to. And I said, I tell you what, after work, if you are still here, let me give you a ride down there, right, to make sure that you won't be here, you know, the next day. And guess what? After work, wasn't even there. Was not even there. Because, see, some people, they want to keep that same mindset. You give them information for them to execute, and they won't implement it. So with the poor, you're going to have the poor. Now, that's one way of, I wouldn't say I was judging him. I was letting him know, brother, I'm giving you a way to get out. Now, if you don't take upon it, that's on you. So that means that you're going to keep that same poor mindset, even though I'm giving you an opportunity to get out. Then it says here, and shall reprove with equity, meaning fairness, for the meek of the earth. That means that we know certain things that certain people have been getting away with illegally. And God says, on this day, amen, that's going to be put to a stop. As a matter of fact, when the second coming of Christ, we can't use the excuse, the devil made me do it. Oh, that ain't going to work. The devil ain't going to be here. Amen. So that means that, amen, God says, when that comes, I will take care and be fair unto everybody, right? And the Bible says, Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Those who have a meek attitude towards God, that people can take your meekness for weakness. And then God says, I'm going to give you a boldness to say no and mean no. And when they can see righteousness of God, you are drawing them by character, by your actions, by what you say, and everything matches up to what they hear, and they could point you out and say, man, that person's lifestyle is a lifestyle that I'm kind of curious about. And then that opens the door for conversation. Then it says here, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. That means that the voice of the Lord, I'm telling you, it would be in a sound of just judgment. We know that there are some wicked things going on right now, even around the globe. And it's involving every nation that's on the planet. And guess what? During this time now, I kind of wish we had the whiteboard. Amen. You know, this season right now, there's one symbol that's been magnified, right? And the one symbol is the dollar sign. Everybody's looking at the stock market. And yeah, I took a few hits. Amen. Everybody is looking at it, right? And listen, during this season, after Thanksgiving, every company has got to meet a certain quota, right? It comes out in the Forbes magazine, amen. It comes out in the Bloomberg printout. And when they don't meet that quota, amen, now they're banking on Christmas. They got to meet that quota, right? And when they don't meet it, now they're banking on New Year's and the after Christmas sale, right, to make that quota. And when they don't meet that quota, that means that, man, we got to have some cutbacks. Man, we got to readjust our plan on advertising. That means that they use this season to magnify the money and products and less of Christ. Now, here's when we come in. That means that, Lord, even though these people are all banking on gifts, And so then I was asked a question day before yesterday. Brother Nedrick, have you done all of your Christmas shopping? Are you all caught up? And I said, you know what, madam? I sure haven't. And they said, well, what kind of gifts are you going to get your family? I said, well, my family, they only value one gift. The gift that they can deposit, they like those kind of gifts. And so they said, Dad, don't give me all the other stuff because the size is going to be wrong and I might not like the color and all of that. Then I might not like that kind of gift that you got me. But they like gifts that you can deposit. So therefore, amen, when I do that, right, I let them know I'm giving this to you in love. I'm not giving it to you just because it's the season, because they'll get a surprise in their bank account without even knowing it. Now, what that does is whenever they see the gift, right, there's no wrappings on it. There's no, you know, this is to my son or to my daughter. They'll just see a cha-ching in their account. And when they see it, they'll reply back, thank you, Dad, for your love and everything else, right? They won't say, thank you, Father Christmas. Thank you, Santa Claus. No, they'll say, thank you, Daddy, because they know who it came from, right? And as we know, you know, during my children, you know, I kind of shared a story before, you know, when they were young, you know, I only got them three gifts, you know, and they would say, my son goes, Daddy, why you only get us three gifts for Christmas? And everybody else got all these gifts under the tree. Why we only get three? I said, well, how many gifts did Jesus get? He went, my son, he caught on. He went, oh, Dad, that's wow. And so I said, well, how many gifts did Jesus get? You know, and they know, you know, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, he only got three gifts. I said, well, that's why you got three gifts, right? And so then my daughter comes to me and starts tugging on my robe, and she goes, well, Daddy, what about all those other gifts I would like to have? I said, well, honey, you'll get those on your birthday. But whose birthday are we celebrating now? And she looks up, Jesus. And I said, that's the point I'm trying to make. That even though, amen, I don't tell them what you're not going to get, I let them know what you're only going to get is just the three gifts. So when they get the three gifts, they know not to look back under the tree and see a fourth gift under there. Because they know we're celebrating Jesus on his birthday, Jesus way. So then after the Christmas holidays, they go back to school. And what's the first topic that they talk about? What you get for Christmas. And now my children have the opportunity of telling them about the goodness of Jesus Christ only by three gifts. And so they say, well, man, what did you get? Then my son rattles it off, you know. And they say, man, you must have been a bad kid because you only got three gifts. Let me tell you what I got, right? And then my son goes, well, here's why I only got three gifts. And then here's the beautiful thing about them, that when they were young, you know, they were witnessing, evangelizing the gospel, and they didn't even know it. Right. Touching the people's lives just through three gifts. And so God was letting me know, even though the world is popularizing everything else, just bring three gifts. And minister in your home on what Jesus did in his home when he brought him three gifts and they celebrated when they saw the birth of Jesus Christ. So he says, all this is going to come to pass. And God says, that is my way of bringing enlightenment to my children about Christmas season. Everything else, you know, this, you know, Red-Nosed Reindeer and everything else, amen, all the movies coming out, he said, you stay focused on Christ. And if you have a tendency to get off track, amen, they'll come back on Christmas to my house and they'll only see three gifts. That says, I'm bringing your focus back to who we celebrate on Christmas Day. Then he says in verse number 5, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Amen. Now, we know a girdle back then, it was really to hold up, you know, a certain piece of clothing in its place. And we know back in the Roman days, they had a girdle too, you know, a belt that kind of keep everything in order of protection. And then when I read this, amen, I was reading in 1 Peter chapter 1, it talks about gird up the loins of your mind. That means during this season, don't let your guard down, amen. Keep the focus on Jesus Christ. everything is going to become to where it will be tempting for you to do it. Now, temptation is not sin, but when we give into it is when it's sin. So even though, amen, there's going to be slashes of prices, everything is going to be, you know, 50% off, 75% off, right? And so my wife and I, we goes, that's the time to shop. We don't have to compete and everybody else and get in line and get up early in the morning, you know, and everything else. That's the time to shop when everything is slashed, right? And so when we do that, we come to the counter and we ask them, so how was your Christmas this season, you know? And they said, well, we had to work even during the season. We did get time and a half, but I'm still tired from it. I said, man, wouldn't you want to get a break from all of this? And they said, yeah, you got something better? Let me tell you about the goodness of Jesus Christ. A simple way to talk about the goodness of Jesus. They're having a stressful day. And guess what? They don't want to work on a holiday. And sometimes they really don't care how much money you give them. They won't have time to enjoy it, because they're always working on the dollar, right? So, man, even when they're working, you still have an opportunity, amen, to talk about the goodness of Jesus even after his birthday. So he says here, amen, I'm going to keep the loins up, keep everything covered in my mind. And in verse number 6, I'll talk about all the way to verse number 8. This is talking about the peace of God, the peace of the entire world. It says here, and I like this, he uses animals and children as it relates to peace. Now, if you do a deeper study, those symbols of animals, they also represent symbols of nations when you go deeper in the study. Verse number 6 says, the wolf also shall dwell with the who?
Lamb.
And the what?
The leopard.
Shall lie down with the kid and the cat. And the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. That talk about Jesus the Christ. Amen. And now when all of this is going on, God says that I'm going to have all those animals in order led by a child. The sincere innocence of a child is going to lead all these big and huge and wild animals. They're going to be led, amen, by a little child. In verse number 7. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. They shall not eat one another. Usually, amen, when you have those animals together, the first instinct is attack. They want to feed their hunger. That's the first thing they want to do. And God says, not on this day, everybody's going to eat, amen, what I feed them. Now, it's just so ironic, in Lackland, they have this training for the canine, and they all have all these German shepherds, all these dogs. And so during this one phase of display, they were showing how much control the canine leader has over the dogs. So they put out a huge row of about 25, you know, German shepherds. And he would have these dogs do commands, and all the dogs command them, right? And so they tested all of these dogs by walking a feline cat in front of one path, from one end of the track all the way to the other end, and those dogs did not move. But their instinct was, I'm going to attack. I want to go after, right? And the cat paused and looked around and saw the dogs and like, I better keep going. I better keep walking, right? And so then, and guess what? Not one of them moved to where the leader had to like jerk the chain or kind of look at him and look at the dog and say, don't do it. Gave him one command, and God let me know that is how I'm going to be. When I come on the scene, it's like God says, you won't have to ask me no questions. When I come on the scene and we get to see God's majesty and his glory and his brightness, any question I had would just be eliminated from my mind. The only thing I want to do is just bow down and worship. That Lord, even the Bible says what? In Psalm 23, the Lord is what? My shepherd that I what? And that means that I shall not lack. That Lord, you shall meet every need that I don't know that I have need of yet. You have already met them. just by worshiping, magnifying me, you would have no lack. And God says, when you keep me on the forefront, these things are going to happen. So that means wars and rumors of wars are going around the world right now as we speak. But he says, do not be moved. This is not the end. These things have to come into play in order to set up the second coming of Jesus. So don't be weary, amen, in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hallelujah. Then it says here in verse number 8, I like this. And the suckling child shall play on the hold of the what?
Yes.
And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. Now those are venomous snakes. Very poisonous, right? So when I begin to look at that, that means that a child is going to be able to play with a snake just like a toy. And the snake, though it may be venomous, right? God says, this snake won't even strike back at the child. But the moment that child is threatened, God can use the snake also to attack the enemy. Because when you read this text, coming from verse number 1, God used the Assyrians to conquer the Egyptian people to punish them because of their sins. And it's funny how God will use the enemy to awaken our attention, right? Now, look what happened on the Twin Towers in New York. The moment that happened, it got everybody's attention. And every church that month was packed to capacity. I mean, we had to put chairs in the aisles, right? It was packed. And God said, I just used that to get your attention, right? And it's funny how he attacked the Twin Towers, which is most of our investment business go through the Twin Towers. And I said, Lord, there's something about that. There's something about that, Lord. That when we start magnifying and loving money, which is the root of, when you lose love for God and have your love on that, he says, I got something to say about it, right? So I said, Lord, why is it, Lord, that we voted this man to be in president during this time of the year, you know, during this season? And God let me know, well, I just did that to awaken your attention. Though he's in the office, what is my responsibility coming from Romans chapter 13? I'm supposed to be praying for the man, praying for his administrative cabinet, right? And I said, Lord, it seemed like they don't stay in office long enough to do something before they get changed all over again, right? And God says, it's still my duty to pray for them, right? Another thing, amen, that we know so quite some time is when he took the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom, right? Then he took prayer out of the schools, right? And so God says, okay, now what are you going to do about it? I said, well, Lord, I guess I got to, you know, teach my children to pray at home. Since the Ten Commandments is taken out of the courtroom, I guess I'll introduce my children to the Ten Commandments in my home. So God is saying, let it start at your house. They're taking everything else out of the schools. Guess what? It's falling back onto the parents so that we don't just bring and drop children off at church and then keep going to the mall and go shopping. Amen. You're going to drop your children off, amen, you come to church as well, right? So I said, okay, Lord, so all this is coming up. And so we know that everything is here just for a season, right? Every term is only good for 4 years, right? And then we have another campaign to see who we want else in the White House. So one time I was talking to Sister Lucas before she passed away, and I said, Sister Lucas, you know, when I map back when you were born all the way up until this point of your life, you have been through 12 or 13 different administrations, and you have survived them all. And she said, yeah. And we got, you know, this one president in the White House, and y'all act like the world coming to an end. And she said, I've been through 12 or 13 of them, Brother Nedrick. I didn't know that. I said, yes, ma'am. And not only that, but you've been through, you know, different wars. You know, and not only that, but you've been through the civil rights movement and still had to keep your focus and attention on God. And she said, yeah, y'all ain't been through nothing yet. You know, she's telling me that. And she said, you think this one president is bad? Oh, no, let me tell you. And then she let me know certain things that she went through, you know. And she was of a color, you know, she was light skinned. And so then she had to pay to play the fence on both roles. And she had an apprentice job in Philadelphia. And she's let me know, you know, one experience that she really, amen, had to say no to something and really mean it. And it hurt her to her heart. But she said, I had to make that point, because if I'm just agreeing with everybody, I'm going along with something that just does not fit with who I am. I said, wow. And you survived all of that. And she said, yeah, so this president you got in the White Office, his term going to be over. God is still on the throne. Yes, ma'am. And so, and then it says in verse number 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Now, when I look at that, it says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all of my holy mountain, which talks about a place of government. So when I put two and two together, Pastor Brown is preaching from Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. You know, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, right? It's going to be upon him. So the government that Jesus is going to put in place, he shall be the ruler and the final authority on the planet. And he says, this is coming up. And then in verse number 9, it says that, and the zeal of the Lord will perform this. God says, I got a zeal to bring it to pass. My people are suffering. And guess what? God says, I want to relieve that suffer. And guess what? Endure it. Everything will come to a pass. This is only just for a season. It's not forever. So when we can endure hardship as a good soldier, that, Lord, if I'm going to brag about Christ, God said, I want you to live out Christ. So if they don't hear you talking, they can at least see from a distance how you are living. And when they can see the demonstration of God's love and God's righteousness, man, you won their attention. In the restaurant, amen, one time as we often do, we go out to a restaurant, you know, right before the meal, you know, we like to open up in prayer. And as we were praying, we're praying right by the window, this car had pulled up, right? And they saw us praying. And then when the waitress was coming to our table, they paused and wait till we finished prayer before they brought us, you know, anything else, you know, our meal. And so then God was saying, while you were praying to me, God says, all these people that saw you praying, you are bragging about me. All right. You didn't have to talk to them. You didn't have to get their attention. You gave us your attention, and therefore I got everybody else's attention. So when we pray, amen, in a public setting, we're not praying for showing off, Lord, I'm just giving you thanks. And so the person who's going to the restroom, amen, could pass by your table and see you praying. You know, you can have a person serving another table, pass by your table, and then they see you praying, right? Because people can have all this noise going on, right? They're having a party, and a person coming out, amen, could just glimpse in your direction, look at your table, and they see you are praying. God says that you are dropping seeds, and you don't even know it. So when we get to heaven, amen, all these rewards that we might get because of our efforts here on earth, I'm saying, Lord, I didn't see it coming. And God says, that's why I didn't show you all these blessings, because you would get big-headed about yourself. So I'll wait till it's all over. When you get on the other side, amen, you know it could be nobody but God. Yeah. Let's read on here. Hallelujah. And in that day, they shall be a root of who? Jesse. Which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it the Gentiles seek. And his rest shall be glorious. Hallelujah. There is a rest in God that is abiding. It's not when it comes and goes. During this time of the year, amen, they said also suicide is up during this time of year. And I said, Lord, I pray that the people that I work with, it don't happen on my watch. I pray, Lord, that at least I'm letting them know that, yes, I am a Christian. And man, if you need fellowship or counsel, man, you could come to me, right? So God says, I'm putting you at that place of employment for a reason beyond the check. I'm putting you there, amen, as a strategic component that when they pass by your area, they ought to sense something different about you. So I got you there to go beyond the check. God says, bring me with you as you go into work and watch me work it out. So when we magnify God, there is ever abiding peace. And he says what? I shall give you peace, amen, that surpasseth all understanding, that shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, right? And then what he says in Isaiah 26, he says, thou shalt grant him perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. When they can see a peace about you, though this society is going crazy, amen, you are drawing attention unto God. So when they come in your direction, amen, you can introduce them to the root of righteousness, which is Jesus our Christ. And in that, I'll close in Jesus' name.